I can say with some certainty that you have a box somewhere in a cupboard that are full of photos and memorabilia from when you were young, concert ticket stubs, love letters, photos of impossibly young you and your mates in share houses, at parties, on holidays together. And I bet that even though you don't sit down and go through that box every day, it pulls at your heartstrings when you stumble across it. But do we place the same value on those memories when they're digital? Because the social media ban's approaching, Meta platforms are prompting users under 16 to download their data before they're removed from the platform. And you might be asking, if you've got teenagers in your life, is it worth it? You wouldn't just throw out your dusty memory box, but does it matter if they lose some of their photos or posts marking special occasions that they've uploaded to Instagram or Facebook? As Australia enters our world first of taking social media off of teenagers, what do we need to make sure that they can take with them? Tama Lever is Professor of Internet Studies at Curtin University, a father of teenage kids, and he's with me now. Tama, welcome back to Life Matters.
Thanks, Tegan. Good to be here.
So are any of your kids about to lose access to their social media?
Yes. So I've got one 14-year-old who is very apprehensive about which of his platforms are about to disappear. But Snapchat has been the one that has messaged him so far to say, you're on the chopping block, do something.
Right. And has he downloaded those posts? Or I don't actually know how Snapchat works in terms of the back end there.
Yeah, so Snapchat has a similar function to the Meta platforms, and it does indeed give an option for you to basically request either all or some of your data and basically get that sent to you as a downloadable zip file that you can then open up and navigate. So yes, he is managed to check in this morning. He is indeed planning to, although as I keep saying, maybe now is the time to download his stuff.
Even a professor in internet studies can't tell a teenage boy what to do.
Nobody has that power.
So what does it look like if you do, when your son eventually sits down and downloads Snapchat, Facebook, Instagram, what does it look like? How do you even navigate what it spits out at you?
Yeah, so what we tend to get, and it is a little bit different across different platforms, is apart from a copy of any image you've uploaded, any video, and other bits and pieces, so your contact list, other things depending on the platform. So you might get some message history, but obviously it's slightly odd because you get your half of a conversation, for example, rather than the full thing, because you don't have permission necessarily to download the full thing. So it can be a slightly odd experience navigating through it. But I guess the really valuable thing is all those photos, all those what we increasingly call memories, that often we don't have any other place that we share them.
I'm thinking about being I'm like going down a memory tunnel right now. I'm thinking about being an early 20s person. I had a phone and I'd gotten a new phone and I had to get a new SIM or I had to transfer it. And it was all going to delete all of my text messages that I had. And I remember sitting in the food court at my local Westfield, writing out by hand my treasured texts from my friends and my boyfriend, who I'm now married to, because I didn't want to lose them when I switched over that digital device. I guess this is sort of an extension of that, but maybe we don't realize it yet.
No, so I mean, this is exactly an extension of that sort of logic that we do have some things that are precious, and obviously the age that we're talking about, young people may not have accrued quite as many precious memories, but there will still be things that are precious, and the value of an archive is something that you rarely can see when you're first confronted with, do I want to keep it? So as an example, maybe you've got a couple of videos or some photos of interacting with your grandparents. If, God forbid, one of them passed away in the next couple of years while you don't have access to that platform, then the value of being able to go and find those videos and those pictures goes up dramatically. You will want to feel that connection still, and looking at and engaging with your memories will be probably part of that process. But you won't think today that that's a realistic thing that you have to plan for. We're very good at trying to pretend, you know, extreme things like death don't really happen until they do. But you don't want to be in the situation of desperately wanting to access something that you just hadn't planned for. It's also true that we tend to screenshot all sorts of things that we sort of don't really imagine that we're backing up. But, you know, everything from vital information through to, you know, even planning for school and things like that, we sometimes are sharing with each other. So there's lots of stuff we take photos of that we don't necessarily recognize the value of in the moment, but we may want at some point, especially if, you know, if you're a 13 or 14 year old and you're going to lose access for a number of years, you don't really want to wait and rely on the platforms holding on to that necessarily.
You're listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor talking to Tama Lever, who's a professor of internet studies at Curtin University. Gids has texted in saying, my teenage years were the early days of Facebook, and it was an invaluable tool as a growing musician to grow and develop my career, make connections, talk to venues, and discover the music world. Well, Tama, you've researched digital archives. Tell me about that project.
Oh, look, I've been part of a community where looking at archives is a really important practice. And to some extent, it's inviting people to use their archive as a way of experiencing their own relationship, both with other people, but also with platforms. So one of the platforms that experienced the most downloading, if you like, was Twitter, or when Twitter became X. I think there was the change of landlord really made a lot of people want to not be on that platform. And so there was a lot of downloading of archives at that point. And people really found that had been on the platform for a meaningful period of time, that there was a lot of stuff in there, even just, you know, we think of tweets as these ephemeral, tiny things, but those memories, those provocations were really valuable to people, and just slowly navigating through them over time really sort of was like an exploration of their own digital life. So it can be an incredibly valuable thing, and it does tell us a lot about our relationships with other people, our relationships with platforms, the way that we do things, the way that we, you know, we might have a habit of sharing the first flower that we see in our garden each year, and just having that over a period of time is an interesting and can be an emotional thing for people. So there's lots of potential for an archive, personal archive, to be really valuable, but it's always going to be the case that we'll recognize that value more after a period of time, not immediately.
Were people surprised at how they felt when they were looking back over those things?
I think people genuinely don't add up in their head the value of a long period of time sharing. I think people are kind of surprised that this does, you know, that each individual thing might feel not hugely significant, but when you add up a year or two's worth of sharing on any particular platform, especially when that includes visual content, photos and videos, that really can be quite a profound exploration of who they are and their own life, their own growth. So yes, I do think people really see the value and do usually feel quite pleased that they've chosen to hold on to these things.
So it's been a thing where you can download your data for a while. Obviously, we're talking about it now because it's being actively offered and pushed towards young people who are going to have their social media accounts in suspended animation, I suppose, until they turn 16. What do we know about uptake of this sort of tool?
Well, we know that most people don't know that this tool exists. Very, very few people turn to look for their own archive unless something dramatic is happening. That dramatic thing is usually a platform does something fairly terrible and people en masse decide that they don't feel comfortable being there anymore. So that's why the Twitter turning to X is such a good case study, I guess, of archives being something people became more aware of. I think while this change for young people is very dramatic, we haven't seen young people en masse consider their archives before. And I'm sure the vast majority didn't ever look for this function, because why would you? We live in this myth that the cloud is where all of our stuff lives. So why would you ever want to try and take the stuff from the cloud? But I think we're also, for young people, experiencing the fact that the cloud isn't permanent, the cloud doesn't last, and that in this particular case, we're deliberately severing a relationship with the cloud, either for a period of time or entirely.
So I know that you had mixed success with talking to your own young teen about this sort of tool, but how should parents or carers approach this conversation, given that we're like 2 weeks away from the ban coming into effect?
Yeah, look, I think what we can safely say is that there is absolutely no harm in downloading your archive, even if you believe you're never going to open it. I do think it's the nature of teenagers to be looking towards the next thing that's going to happen and not worry too much about the immediate past. But in that circumstance, I think just saying there might be one photo, there might be one message, there might be one thing that you really want to try and access during the next however long a period of time before you can get back on that platform, I think that's something that we can convince teens is worth thinking through. And I think it's also a pathway to opening up that dialogue about what's about to happen. I genuinely think more teens think they're going to either get around the ban or somehow use, you know, a different tool to get their account back earlier than when they turn 16. That might be true, but it very much might not. And so I think taking seriously the possibility that you might not be able to touch your stuff for a number of years is, I think, really, really important for the preparation for the reality of losing accounts that mean quite a lot to most young people on December 10 or indeed December 4 for Meta products.
Tama, thank you so much for joining me.
It's been my absolute pleasure, Tegan. Thanks.
Tama Lever is a professor of internet studies at Curtin University and a father of five, including teens who are going to be affected by this ban. I asked you about where you keep your special memories from your early teen years. One says, I have boxes of photos. Love the opportunity of touching and simulating the good times, a tactile contribution to memory.
Stream any ABC radio station live and on the go. Discover new podcasts, music, and audiobooks, all free on the ABC Listen app.